Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 229. Opening day is it almost in the books. We have two games late in action on the West Coast, so everybody had a great time with that. We're going to give us some takeaways from opening day and get your week two fab preview, your first full week of baseball action fab preview going for you, the first of our second of 27, so that'd make 26 to go. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. I am fantastic. Great day today. Started the day with the draft, of course.
Just melted my heart.
After last show saying I was done drafting.
And ridiculing me, basically.
Making fun of you for still doing another draft. I'm in there. 8 a.m. this morning doing a main event qualifier. So I did that from like 8 till 11:30, and then consumed a lot of calories today. It was glorious and watched baseball. Pizza, beers, noons, coconut rolls, Cheetos.
Coconut rolls.
Great stuff. Great day. Had a little bit of a food coma at dinner time. Didn't eat dinner, but now I'm back. I feel somewhat reinvigorated talking to you. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Just busy with life and throwing baseball in the mix, which is always great. So, we're good over here. It's good to have some baseball. Definitely did not consume the calories that you took in today. So I guess that's a plus in my book. Won't matter. Mine will stay on me. Yours won't. There's a difference in life. But
I don't know about that last part.
things are good. Things are good. Like I said,
things change when you turn 40, right?
Yes. So, dude, it's not as glorious as it once was. But good times watching MLB TV. We got some Cubs D-backs in the desert. Neither starting pitcher looked like they were worth a darn tonight. So lots of good baseball there. A lot of good baseball.
Logan Gilbert looking good, but also not getting a win. Typical Mariners. It was more of the same so far. We'll see. Could change, but I doubt with Mason Miller coming in at some point that it will change.
Yeah, Logan Gilbert on his way to a 2.98 ERA with a 1.03 WHIP and 8 wins. That's where we're headed with Logan Gilbert, which is what it is.
Yep.
What are some other takeaways we have? So we have the double dong patrol. We've got four double dongs on the night, which has been great.
gotta start with that, right?
Yeah,
we gotta start with the double dong watch.
Orioles 12 runs in Toronto. See ya, Jose Barrios. That was an ugly go. But Adley make him eat crow out the gate with his double dong. But then we had a lot of catcher home runs today, which was great to see, by the way. Lots of catcher home runs.
Well, the season got started with Austin Wells. It was a cheap one. It was a very cheap one. But Austin Wells, I think a few people responded on Twitter with this. It's the first time on opening day that a leadoff hitting catcher hit a home run or something. Which just melts your heart.
Yes, it's tears and eyes type situation on that one, because hashtag catchers matter, folks. So
always,
it was great to see there.
Kieber Ruiz looking good too.
Kieber getting it in, which is a nice, like, so that's always good when Ruiz and Wells, your later catcher two options, both start going deep. That's always a great feeling on opening day. Lots of strikeouts from the aces today. Lots of strikeouts. What about my boy Matt Gore? Six shutout innings.
Strong. One hit,
zero walks and 13 punchouts. Yeah. Almost a 40% CSW.
Good for the whip.
Great for the whip. Yeah, there goes that projection thing. I think I'm moving back in the right direction on this one.
It's one start. He'll melt down at some point.
I wanted to make that joke because I knew you were going to go with the one start. For those that are complaining about their guys not pitching well, it's one start.
One start.
Gave it four runs in six innings. Is anybody really worried about that? I don't think so.
No. I tweeted this out earlier. I said the biggest takeaway from opening day is bullpen chaos is here to stay. It actually rhymes. Like, I didn't mean to do that, but I took some notes. This is just some of the like bullpen madness that we saw today. Two of the more stable guys out there, Devin Williams, Josh Hader. They got the save, but I believe both loaded the bases with no outs in their appearance in the ninth, so did not did not look all that hot. Jordan Romano came in the eighth inning of a game today, gave up two runs, didn't look so hot. Aroldis Chapman came in the eighth inning of a tie game today. Justin Slayton got the save. Tough look for David Bednar, taking the L against an all-time bad-looking Miami Marlins lineup.
Didn't even get an out.
Did not even get an out. Yeah, so tough look for David Bednar. We'll talk about, in the Fab preview, some kind of actionable things with this. But, like, Cincinnati. I picked up Scott Barlow and Tout in Fab this week. So I have to start him. He showed up in the sixth inning. Santillan in the eighth. And I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. Ian Jabot? Is he French? Like Fauché?
It doesn't matter. He's getting out of here.
This Ian Jabot dude shows up in the ninth, blows it.
Jabroni, more like it. Sorry.
Yeah. Texas, we kind of knew this, but like Martin came in on the eighth. Luke Jackson, who I will fully admit, did not even know was on Texas earlier this week. Luke Jackson came in the ninth, gave up three earned runs. And then to top it off, at least so far, this day of closer madness, chef's kiss. You were lamenting this in the Discord. Blake Treinen getting the ninth, Tanner Scott getting the eighth in a clean save situation for the Dodgers this evening. Bullpen madness is here.
Didn't even pitch.
Who didn't?
Yates never got up.
Yeah, Kirby Yates didn't even pitch. Didn't even pitch. What the hell?
You can't even like, hey, they brought him into the seventh or no, didn't even pitch. Nowhere to be found.
So, dude, like Dave Roberts is Dave Roberts.
I warned you all for a long time.
Yeah, a lot
this
of
is not a,
lot
a victory lap. I'm just saying. Three
a lot
games.
Of disappointed Tanner Scott folks out there. Because like we said in Vegas, Tanner Scott was going in the fifth or sixth round of these drafts because it looked like he'd be the guy getting that first save. So just a wild day of bullpen madness. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me of like actual things that, you know, like Jackson Churio got the platinum sombrero today over five Ks. Like not a great look, but like Jackson Churio's obviously going to be fine. So, yeah. So that was wild. I probably missed some bullpen stuff, but those are at least the notes. In between eating Cheetos and pizza, I was kind of writing down some bullpen stuff.
Well done. And that's most of them. Like, there's a bunch of saves. I'll talk about that on Breakfast with Bubba. Tons of saves, but very few of them are clean. Let's put it that way. Because you mentioned some of them that struggled. Like, Ryan Walker even gave up a run in his save. There's a lot of just they got through it type things, if that makes sense. So, yeah, bullpen for the best. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good.
One thing that I picked up, Mike Clevinger would have got the save today.
Yes.
Came in the eighth inning with two outs of a very high leverage situation. Got the out, and the White Sox, I think, scored six runs the following inning in the ninth. So Clevinger did not come back out to get the save in the ninth. So it does look like Clevinger, at least, for how many games the White Sox are winning, is going to be the closer. Nicky Lopez pitched in that game. That's tough. That's brutal. An opening day hitter pitching is not what you want to see.
You know what's more brutal is that Nicky Lopez is on the Angels instead of, you know, Christian Moore or somebody else that actually might help them.
Yeah.
But this is the Angels again who have Reed Detmers in the bullpen. So
Kevin Newman starting shortstop. Tim Anderson's rocking
second baseman.
Number 77. Which is also
tough
to look at. He actually got, it was kind of cool. I totally forgot, but it was at the game was at the White Sox, and Anderson got a nice ovation from the South Side faithful.
Beautiful. Dr. Doom in the chat here says Trout getting hit in his first at bat scared the shit out of him. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, got hit on the hand. Like it was like, whoa, but he was fine.
So many of those hand injuries lately, too. It's just not what you want to see. Michael C. says Romano was bad. Alvarado looked electric. Yeah, we'll talk more Alvarado later because Alvarado had a phenomenal spring, too. I heard him talked about here and there, but not nearly the extent in other places because it seemed like it was Romano's job, you know, to do the thing. So we'll see. That was,
Tyler O'Neill homered for the sixth opening day in a row.
Sixth straight opening day. Bryce Harper homered. It's not like a consecutive streak, but it's almost every year with him on opening day. It's just the way they roll. I got to eat some crow, but it's the crow I'll eat every time when Wilmer Flores hits the go-ahead home run. Like the guy I don't want even on the roster anymore. hits it. So thank you. I'll eat that all day long if that's the case. Elliot Ramos take Hunter Green deep. That kid's going to be good. Going to be good.
Yeah.
Giants team's going to be fun. They're going to get my hopes up, I know, like usual, and just to tear me down, because if healthy, they can do some damage, but they have no depth at all. So it's just it's one of those things. It's like they have a little outfield depth, but the rest of the roster, a couple injuries away from making this rough again.
Yep. Randy Arozarena just homered, so I like that.
Oh, on his way to his sixth 2020 season.
Exactly. I think it's fun to victory lap and look at, you know, the guys you like this offseason. It's opening day. Enjoy it. Embrace it. I think we had plenty of that. The Discord was quite busy today. That was awesome to see. So people are getting into it. So
it's good stuff. I'll be honest, I'm laughing. So like I said it on Breakfast with Bubba. I said, like, games I'm looking forward to. Well, the first game of the day, it's Peralta versus Rodon. So you'll know how my fantasy season is doing really quickly. And like I see Peralta giving up these short porch homers, getting to Austin Wells, though, so it's kind of ironic. Like that bugged me up, but then he ended up with like 7 or 8 Ks. Rodon looked really good, which made me feel good. And then Devin, one of my most rostered players, comes into the game. I'm like, oh great, he's gonna get the first blown save of the year. Got through it is what we're going to say on that one. So a lot of ups and downs in that game for me personally, if you want to talk, you know.
I thought Freddie looked good. Those two, it was the wind and like first couple rows in the right field short porch. So I'm not worried at all about Mr. Freddie Peralta. The guy who I was most worried about, and you were too, everyone was in our Discord, was Sonny Gray. Yep. Didn't get to watch the start. Martin Sikulski in the Discord said that Twins were hitting him somewhat hard. Velocity was still down a little bit, but he survived, got the win, got a decent line. So I think I mentioned that on the podcast last show that I was wondering if I should even start Sonny Gray, given the velocity was down this spring. He was getting torched and then he had got the flu, but he at least survived his first start.
Yeah. It was after Martin put that in there, maybe like 15 minutes later, I was on the playback feed with Nick Pollock and friends. And someone was dropping notes in there, and Sonny Gray after the game said he was throwing more sinkers and off-speed pitches because he could only throw his fastball 90 miles an hour and didn't trust it.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. So, because like I remember what you're talking about in the Discord where it's like, yeah, he got through it, but got hit around hard and this and that. And then that note dropped in there, and I'm like, oh, no, you combine all of that? Yeah, you got away with one is what it sounds like if you throw them. Let's put it that way.
Great. Thanks for throwing cold water on that parade.
Hey, anything can happen. Maybe it changes. But, yeah, Sonny said he had no feel for his fastball and couldn't throw it harder than 90, basically. So whatever grains of salt you'd like with that. All right. Any other takeaways, Ryan, before we unveil some new toys?
No, just the I don't know. It's funny, the, like, everyday traditions that, like, the MLB home run app, just seeing that pop back up, you know, when someone hits a homer on my phone. The annual opening day tradition of someone you know you've drafted a bunch does something, and then you scramble to see which teams he's on, whatever, you know. And sometimes it's like, oh, he's only on two teams. But that opening day tradition was in full effect today as well. So
I will say I don't like the upgrades to the MLB Game Day app on my phone. That's annoying as all get up, because instead of just being able to watch I just want to, like, watch the live feed score. I don't want the videos. I don't want any of that. I just want it there. And now it incorporates the videos automatically. And, like, it almost froze my phone a few times. It was horrible.
And I guess MLB tough day for MLB TV. Yeah. Apparently, we weren't on MLB TV, but I guess that was down for a bunch of people on opening day of all days. So not a great start with the tech.
Nope, not at all. But good starts with tech involve sheets that Ryan Bloomfield makes for the Patreon and for this show. So Mr. Bloomfield, Jorge Polanco goes deep. Watch out, everybody. Don't call it a comeback. So what do you got for us, Ryan, as we get ready for week 2 Fab preview?
All right. Well, I hope this comes out good enough on the YouTube stream. There we go. It's a little bigger there. All right. So similar, this will be the template for all season. A little bit similar to what we had last year, just I think spruced up a little bit. We've got Monday to Thursday and Friday, Sunday splits for those of you in the NFBC. This is also fully available to our Patreon subscribers as well. So I'm going to update this sheet throughout the weekend and on Mondays every week for weekly planning. So this is the weekly planner I just unveiled on the Patreon, just released it. It's got a weekly schedule grid, which we're going to use to kind of go team by team, just like we did last year on our Thursday Fab previews, with opposing schedules, opposing probable starters, the strikeout minus walk rate of those opposing starters, all color coded so that we can pretty easily see what are the hard, easy schedules for the week ahead. And then of course, lefty righty and that sort of thing. So that's the sheet for this year. Won't go through all these, but also have a little tab down here for starting pitcher planner, which is like the next 2 weeks looking ahead at starting pitchers. And the probables are all from FanGraphs, but looking at who the opponents are, what their strength of offense is against the handedness of that pitcher and that sort of thing. So all in kind of Bloom Board style. So again, if you want to support the show, in addition to everything that Bubba's putting out there with the daily notes and your weekly Fab article, these sheets will be available to you as well. And again, updated every day throughout the week, but that's what we're going to use to kind of go through our schedules every single Thursday night with you all.
Yep. That's the plan. So it'll be the same format, different view, I guess is the way I'll say it. But we will pound it out for you guys as usual. And all questions in the chat, keep them coming. And we'll get to them throughout the show when the opportunity arises. But let's start it out here. It's like last year was just all alphabetical order. So now we're actually going by league and division this time for those keeping track of them, which I appreciate. Hey, this is big boy now, Bloomfield. So we'll start out with the Baltimore Orioles. They got six games coming up next week, three at home versus Boston, three at the Kansas City Royals. If you want a full week perspective, three lefties, three righties for now. And one thing I'll say right now, these rotations are still in flux. So
sure,
we think they're pretty much locked in, but if you go to most websites, there's still some teams that are playing games after the next like game or two already scheduled. So keep that in mind, but these should be what you're going to see. So three lefties, three righties. For the Baltimore Orioles, they get two lefties to start the week, two righties to finish the week, essentially. What do you like in this one?
I mean, so I think tonight, well, it's kind of just like a rundown of each lineup. I don't know how much actionable stuff, like to what we were just saying about to take away from one day and Fab and that sort of thing. So, like, well, I mean, one thing I'm looking at is Cedric Mullins. The double donger Cedric Mullins, is he going to play against these three lefties? Is Jackson Holliday going to play against these lefties? Is Ryan O'Hearn going to play against these lefties? Like, it looks like Baltimore almost has a line change situation because they do have Ramon Laureano, Jorge Mateo, Gary Sanchez on the bench. There could be some platooning there. So a good week to kind of get a feel for the Baltimore lineup and what they're going to do against three lefties, three righties here.
Yep, that is very, very fair on that one. For me, like, do you go to your Ryan O'Hearns of the world? Is that something that gets your excitement? Probably not on a 3-3 week, but I guess if you can do bi-weekly, like, yeah, 3-3, it's tough to get anybody, essentially, barring an injury in the next couple of days. But when we look a little deeper into this one, I will throw his name out there, because he might still be rather lowly rostered. Let me check real quick. But that's not what I wanted to see. Wow. Oh, you got to be crapping me. Give me a second here, because I want to see Cade Povich's...
got a two-step. Well,
yeah. So we'll talk about him later, but I wanted to see what his roster rate was here as we're talking about this. Why isn't he showing up in here?
Maybe he's 0%. The Cade Povich two-step next week is at home against Boston, on the road against the Royals. So that's...
No, I'm an idiot.
That's useful.
I got it. Cade Povich is 52% rostered in OCs right now. So Someone to keep in mind for next week. That would be a target of mine if you are in need of something like that. All right. Again, a little rusty here. Just getting back in track. Boston Red Sox, they have six games coming up this week. Three at Baltimore, three at home against St. Louis. one lefty and five right-handed pitchers. So what do you got, Mr. Bloomfield?
It was a very good sign that Willier Abreu hit two home runs today. In a five game week, that is very nice. And it's also a very good schedule, right? It's a 13% strikeout minus walk rate for the group facing the Boston Red Sox this week, especially on the back half, getting Fetty, Palante, and Miles Michaelis. Like that St. Louis rotation is going to be pretty rough. So, yeah, I think Willier Abreu, I don't know his ownership or whatever, but
66%.
Okay. So pretty widely rostered in 12 teamers, but definitely absolutely startable this coming week with a righty heavy week ahead and a hell of a start on opening day.
Yeah. I'm wondering if, and we might get to see something over the weekend here, but like obviously Christian Campbell got the start against Nate Eovaldi. So I guess that answers my question already. I was wondering if he would potentially platoon with like a David Hamilton, maybe not, but yeah, something to maybe watch going forward. But it seems like it's Campbell's world for the taking in that one.
I hate to always say, well, Campbell's up, he's going to play every day, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's the thing. We don't really know. Like we can look at spring training lineups and that sort of thing, but we don't really know the trends with these teams until next week.
As Mike Kirlin made very clear when Dylan Cruz hit eighth on Thursday, where he hadn't hit eight the entire spring and pretty much all last September. So that's one of those that makes you go, huh. All right, New York Yankees, they have six games next week. Three at home versus Arizona, three at the Pittsburgh Pirates, two lefties, four righties. Not a lot here unless you're a Ben Rice fan, it feels like.
I was going to say, what do you think of Ben Rice? Because he is one of the highest risers coming off of a very good spring. You do get those four righties. I don't know if Ben Rice plays against lefties, but feels like Ben Rice probably was added in a bunch of leagues last weekend, at least in 15 teamers. But he'd be someone I'd look at. I'm just afraid Ben Rice is like this guy who just had a good spring and then goes back to being the Ben Rice we saw down the stretch last year. Maybe that's not fair to him, but just feels that way a little bit.
The way I see Ben Rice is he will be extremely streaky. Extremely streaky. It's like, you almost got to just play him and ride the goods with the bads, or just don't play him at all kind of thing. That's as bad as that might sound. He's 60% rostered, no C's. So he's out there. If you like him, it's strictly a power play. And I don't know if I want to play a power play this early in the season.
And maybe even for the first half of the week only, because it's at home and it's three righties Monday through Thursday. Yes. So that could work for a half week of Ben Rice at least.
And the righties would be Eflin and Morton. So you got that. Oh, no, I'm wrong team. Sorry. There'd be Gallen. And you might get three righties out the gate. Burns,
yeah, Gallen, he gets three. And Burns, Gallen, and Kelly. Yeah,
I was looking at the wrong line. Sorry. We're going to highlight this line to help me now. There we go. Yeah, that's probably the way to do it. If you want to play him for the first half of the week, sit him for the second half. I am 1,000% with you on that. All right, Tampa Bay Rays. You got three versus the Pirates, three at the Texas Rangers. All right-handed pitching, and that's what we like to hear when it comes to the Tampa Bay Rays, is nice, sweet, and simple. So who are you looking for here? Because Brandon Lau is probably widely rostered, so is Josh Lowe. Not a lot else in the automatic lefty situation.
Yeah, I mean, Roster Resource has Jonathan Aranda, who a lot of smart people were in on in draft season. So Jonathan Aranda could be worth a look this week. It is a tough week, though, for the Rays. They get Skeens and DeGrom and then Kumar Rocker. So, like, it's not, you know, the best week for Tampa. Maybe you roll with the first half. It's a tough week for them. So, I don't know. It's Jonathan Aranda. I mean, Danny Jansen was taken pretty much everywhere. Your guy DeLuca hitting near the bottom. Rays did they play today?
Yeah, Tampa Bay against the Rockies had an off day today because they needed. The leagues moved their schedule back a day a while ago because the team needed more time to transfer the Yankee stuff to Rays stuff in the Yankees minor league ballpark. That's what I heard yesterday. Ouch.
Needed that extra day, huh?
Because then I saw clips out there, like even in the training room where there was decals of Yankees, there's now Rays decals in there. So they needed time to switch things over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, did they? Yeah, I don't think I saw a lineup from them today.
Nope, they play tomorrow. They were one of the two teams that play tomorrow for the first time. Okay. All right, Toronto Blue Jays got three versus the Nats, three at the New York Mets, two lefties and four righties on the week here. Toronto, man, pitching was not great on opening day, but and honestly, the bats didn't do much either. So what are you looking at here with Toronto outside of maybe taking a chance on Alan Rodin, who got the start on Thursday?
Right. That's the one who I guess people are going to maybe take a chance on. Again, probably already picked up Alan Rodin in leagues. That's one you want to look at this weekend, see how he does. But has some prospect pedigree, hit ninth today, so we'll see. It is a pretty easy schedule. I mean, it's Williams, Soroka. We'll give you Mackenzie Gore, Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, and then Peterson. Like, that's pretty cake for any fringe Toronto guys.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet indeed if you can get rode in to make it happen. That's the best way I'll say it. Because otherwise, the lead offense is also rather locked. And your boy Jimenez went deep today, so that was nice.
Yeah, and hitting cleanup, by the way, Andrés Giménez. Like, what the hell? Did not expect that, but I'll take it.
Not many guess, as long, hit, my friend.
As long as he runs out of the cleanup spot, I don't care where the hell he hits.
Yeah, for sure. That's obviously quite important there. Head to the AL Central here. The Chicago White Sox, three at home versus Minnesota, three at the Detroit Tigers. All six games versus right-handed pitching. We're talking the White Sox, though. So maybe Benintendi, if available. He went deep already. Like, are we back to Benny Biceps year two? Is that where we're going to be?
Did homer today, so that's... That's nice, but yeah, it's a somewhat tough schedule, and I just don't think there's much on the White Sox. Like, you're not adding Travis Jankowski, Brooks Baldwin. Like, you start Benintendi in the 15 team round. I don't even know about a 12.
He's only 3% rostered in OCs.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like so boring that. Yeah, I don't know. Miguel Vargas hitting leadoff is interesting to me. I feel like I kept talking up Miguel Vargas a bunch last season, and then he just didn't do anything. But I feel like he's one of those guys I'm always going to hold out hope for, and he's going to be like 35 years old, and I'm still talking about Miguel Vargas. But hey, he's leading off, hitting in front of Lou Bob, hitting in front of Benintendi, Vaughn. Like, the top four, that lineup isn't god awful. So if you're desperate for an outfielder or corner infield, Miguel Vargas is at least worth seeing what he does to start the season.
Yeah, I liked him in deeper formats as draft season went on, when he was actually playing well and looking like he's going to be an everyday dude. So I liked that. Not a guy that I'm saying run out to add, but just going to throw out. Lynn and Sosa went deep on Thursday as well.
He did. So, actually started him in draft and hold.
You're welcome. That's bad. Yes, yes. All right, Cleveland Guardians, six games coming up here. Three at the Padres, three at the Angels. They got a little West Coast swing for the Guardians here. Hopefully Tanner Bibee pitches sometime next week. Good God, or maybe hopefully this weekend. Two lefties, four righties when it comes to the Guardians matchups, Ryan. And we got a curveball when Manzardo started versus a lefty today, so I don't know what this lineup's going to be like.
Yeah, and did he homer today?
Yes, Manzardo? He did. He went 3-for-4 with a double, a triple, a homer, and a walk.
Yeah, that's obviously very encouraging. Manzardo did DH, so it wasn't first base. I'm kind of on first base eligibility watch. Your guy, Carlos Santana, keeps getting in the way there of Kyle Manzardo's path to first base eligibility. If Santana could just go away for a little bit, that would be fantastic. But yeah, Kyle Manzardo playing against a lefty is a fantastic sign. And this schedule is really not that bad. The strikeout minus walk, I should have said at the beginning, this is all last year's strikeout minus walk. Maybe that's obvious. I'll switch it over to 2025 at some point. But pretty easy overall, especially the back half. Anytime you're getting that Angels rotation, it's Jose Soriano, our guy Kokainowicz, and Tyler Anderson, like that's good. So Kyle Manzardo is interesting to me. Nolan Jones did not play against the lefty today.
Me.
So that was, that was pretty surprising too.
Big Christmas got in there.
He did. Noel got the start. So, and then, yeah, in terms of like Cleveland's rotation, I don't really know until we figure out what Tanner Bibee had to eat the other day and when he returns. Well,
If anybody's on social media, he flat out told everybody he loves eating Chipotle before every start. So,
Did he actually say that today?
Oh yeah, there's tweets all over the place that people like started digging up from previous interviews. One was like this past January, like he talks about.
Okay. Oh yeah. I didn't know that. Neither did I.
But I didn't know that. But I was before the like a while before the show. I was prepping breakfast with Bo and stuff, and I just started searching Twitter if there's updates on him. No updates, but a million different Chipotle tweets, like quote tweeted all over the place. So yes,
T's and P's to anyone who started Ben Lively today. By the way.
Ooh. Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, we got the Detroit Tigers. We 3 at Seattle, 3 versus the Chicago White Sox. 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Detroit Tigers here. This is a lineup that gives you a good week for Kerry Bonds, but he should be rostered in most formats. Mr. OPS, the league leader in OPS and OBP, and Spencer Torkelson.
Dude.
For 4 with a homer and 4 walks. Those are some nice looks if you're interested.
I mean, Torkelson, that has been, I put this in the Discord, but quite a rise from basically with Detroit signing Glaber and then moving Colt Keith to first base, the writing was on the wall that like Torque does not have a job. And he goes from that, at least on opening day and against a lefty. So we'll see against right-handed pitching if Torque plays. But Torkelson having a hell of a spring and then looking good today. He is rising up top ad boards, and I think Spencer Torkelson is worth dipping into that just because he has proven that he can be good in the majors before. Ton of prospect pedigree, and I think pretty, I don't know, do you have his 12-team ownership?
64%.
Okay, so available in some 12-teamers. So I think Torkelson is your guy here. Tough to see Trey Sweeney not getting a start today against a lefty, but I think that's what's going to happen at shortstop for Detroit this year is a platoon with Baez and Trey Sweeney.
He came in and played this like the last 3 innings. So yeah, there's okay. once Snell was gone, Sweeney was in.
Gleyber Torres stole a base today. Gleyber Torres has a beard, yeah. Which is I've never seen before.
Didn't know that? Oh, he came to spring training with that. It was
wild. I didn't know.
Oh yeah. Yep. He's definitely he loved being out of New York in that respect. The other one I'm going to mention, and doesn't come into play so much for next week with only the one lefty, Manny Margot is hitting towards the top of the order with like 3 more knocks. Like he hits lefties. Just keep that in mind for future shows. That's all I'm going to say. What he does.
You do get a two-step. We'll talk about two steps as part of our Thursday segment after this. But did want to shout out Casey Mize, who is my guy, but gets at Seattle and then at home against the White Sox next week. So if you're looking for two-start pitchers for next week, Casey Mize, that lines up quite well if we're talking Detroit.
Yep, that is a beauty indeed. Kansas City Royals, 6 games. Pretty much every team's going to have 6 games next week, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, there's a couple that said, if I scroll down just real quick, it's Cincinnati, Milwaukee. They have 7. Everyone else was 6.
3 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus Baltimore for the Royals. Can't do math here, but I believe it's – because it's to be determined. Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a TBD.
So it's at least 2 lefties and 3 righties with a TBD in the middle there from Milwaukee as there's – still haven't officially announced their fifth starter. It looks like it'll be – I was just looking at it earlier – I'm hoping it's Henderson.
I was going to say Henderson, maybe. I don't know.
That's kind of where I think they've been leaning. But heck, you go to roster resource, they have 3 starters on there. But what are you looking at here with the Royals? A team that Vinny P came back as DH, went deep, didn't play the field though. But overall, this is a line change team. Keep that in mind.
It is a line change team, and we don't like line change teams in split weeks. So it could be a tough one for Mount Massey. For MJ Melendez, for Kyle Isbell. I think the big thing to look at with the Royals, just Michael Garcia did not start today against a right-handed pitcher. Yep. I know we're talking fab preview and fab ads, but I think sometimes too, it's important to discuss the drops. I'm not saying Michael Garcia is a drop. I'm just saying keep an eye on how often Michael Garcia plays. I think some of that might be Vinny P is held to the DH right now, but not great if you have some Michael Garcia to see him not start against a right-handed pitcher. Could just be a one-day thing, but continue to monitor it over this next weekend. Because if he's not playing against right-handed pitching, Michael Garcia I think pretty quickly is a drop.
Yeah, I'd honestly, I would try to wait and see what next week takes place. Like, give them a full, not just 3-game weekend, but I get it. If it's 3 full games with no starting, okay, I can see the concerns, but I kind of want to see a little more before dropping him, because that's going to,
it would be a tough drop. And I'm not saying it to do it yet. And I agree. Yeah. I think give it a week, but that was not good today.
No, that was one of the bigger standouts for sure. Minnesota Twins, 3 at the White Sox, 3 at home versus Houston. 5 righties. Here we go. This is our favorite line change team all of last year.
Let's see who we got.
Trevor Larnach. Come on down. For those that didn't believe in Matt Wallner, come on down. But it's pretty much Trevor Larnach now that Kepler's gone and Larnach or Wallner plays pretty much every day.
Yeah. Had a couple who the hell is that guy moments today. One was Deshaun Kearsey Jr. stole a base for Minnesota today. No idea.
That's good.
Have you heard of him?
Nope.
Okay. All right. If you haven't heard, like, I don't hear people all the time, but if you don't hear them, that's tough. But yeah, your right-handed weeks for the Twins this year are looking kind of same as last year, except for our guy Kepler. So Wallner and Trevor Larnach are good ads. You're going to laugh at me. You're going to laugh at me. But my guy Ty France locked in 6th spot in the order. If you need a 15-team corner infielder. Wave the French flag, people.
All right, anything else?
Nah, just I'll drop the mic there.
Okay. The Athletics. They have 3 games at home versus the Cubs, 3 at the Colorado Rockies. So this is a really good week, all things considered. Like a really good week. Loving this one. 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Oakland A's. I think Ryan's mic's still on. The problem is the A's honestly don't platoon a lot. And one thing that stood out with Thursday's game as the A's faced Gilbert, a righty, Seth Brown sat in favor of Miguel Andujar. So
yeah,
that's another thing to keep an eye on for like you deep, deep leagues. If you did try to do the Seth Brown streaming situation, that's not looking too strong. It's only 1 game, of course. But other than that, JJ Bleday should be rostered, I'd imagine. Soderstrom could be a dude. I know a lot of people are in on him already, but maybe in 12s. You can get some Soderstrom love. So anything you're looking at here, I know Max Muncy will be popular as well.
I was going to say, did you mention Muncy? But again, Muncy probably taken a bunch last week. And that's kind of what we're saying. Like a whole lot
hasn't changed. Wasn't available in the NFPC though, remember?
Yeah, that was a weird look. But yeah, in NFPC leagues, Max Muncy is widely available. Did start at second base though. He hit 8th in the opener today. I think you need to look at Miguel Andujar in 15-team formats just because the schedule. I mean, this is like an ideal schedule. I'm highlighting it on the screen. It's an average of a 10% strikeout minus walk rate. League average on that is like, I want to say like 16%. So
we looked last year. Yeah.
Okay. So it's very low for the opponent. Again, the lower, right? If we're looking at hitters, the lower strikeout minus walk rate of the opposing pitchers is what you want. That's why it's green on this sheet. But to get Feltner, Senzatella, and Mookie Blaylock for Colorado, next weekend, like that is golden. And even the front part, like Justin Steele hasn't looked that hot. Ben Brown, we both like Ben Brown, but he's the 4 starter. Jameson Taillon, like it's a really good week for Athletics. So 15 teamers, go for your Miguel Andujar is, I think, a sneaky, cheap weekly streamer.
Here's the only thing I'll say, because I agree, this is probably one of the best schedules on the for next week. I live about 3.5 hours away from Sacramento. It's supposed to rain off and on all next week, so that could affect things.
Don't throw
that out there. Yep. And we always got to put a little cold water on early season Colorado. The weather's not that hot. If it's raining here, it might be snowing there later in the week, for all we know. Just keep that in mind. Schedule looks outstanding. Even just pitching matchups alone, not even ballparks, just pitching matchups. But just remember, it's early in the season. Weather is a capital B at times. So something to think about.
Good call. We actually did research on this at Baseball HQ, looking at monthly park factors, and Coors and Wrigley were very extreme early in the season.
Yep. All right. The Houston Astros, 3 at home versus the Giants, 3 at the Minnesota Twins, all right-handed pitching for Houston. And they get a pretty friendly set of, well, maybe not so friendly. Depends on how you evaluate certain pitchers, I see. So I'll keep that comment to myself. But you got an Astros team that, for the most part, I think we've seen the starting nine, and I don't see a whole lot of changes coming that way right now.
Agreed. I don't know. I don't know what the move is. I mean, Cam Smith probably widely picked up last week. Brendan Rodgers started for Houston today at second base, if you're really desperate there. A bit concerning to not see my guy Chaz McCormick start on our player shares. I think he's my second most rostered player, which I thought he'd at least play and get a chance. But that may be a short side platoon for Chaz McCormick. So if you have Chaz and 15 teamers, you may not want to have him for too long. We'll see. We'll see how he plays, if he plays.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim coming off their pitching situation. That I'm just going to leave at that. 6 games, 3 at St. Louis, 3 at home versus the Guardians. 1 lefty and 5 righties. But as much as we kind of like to make fun of these guys, you know, Mickey Moniak's not around anymore, so that ruins that platoon situation. I don't see a whole lot changing here.
I don't either. You're not picking up Kevin Newman. You're not picking up Yoan Moncada, who played today. Joe Adell, wasn't great to see him hit 8th, though he is locked in an everyday role, so that's nice. But yeah, there's not much to act on here with the Angels.
One person I put on your watch list, though, because he actually made the club, is Kyren Paris. Really liked what he did this spring, young player.
You like him, yeah.
Yeah, looking like he his spring was awesome, like I said. And he's like an elite prospect by any means, but he at least, you know, has some skill sets and whatnot. So he could be a guy, if he gets some run, that can be very, very interesting at some point in time. Okay. All right, the Seattle Mariners, 3 at home versus the Tigers, 3 at the San Francisco Giants, 2 lefties, 4 righties on this one for Seattle. And they do some platooning, and this could mean it's a 2-4 week. Are they split evenly? They are split evenly. Is it a rowdy week, my friend? Is it rowdy?
Time to get rowdy. Rowdy, your guy did start today. Struck out tonight against Severino.
He does that, by the way. He does that, just so we're aware.
What about Ryan Bliss? I think that's your love him. That's your early victory lap call there in terms of playing time. You think Ryan Bliss is addable? I think definitely in 15s, marginal in 12s.
Definitely in 15s, he should be added. 12s, if you already think you're going to be kind of weak on speed, I'd be adding him. He's going to hit towards the bottom of the order. Batting average should be okay. I don't think he'll be elite by any means. Should be good, though. And just if he gets on, he's going to run. He's going to run. Yeah. So, like, if people like PCA, he's like a lighter version of PCA is the way I would like to best describe him, probably.
Stole a base tonight, so that's obviously a great sign. 50 bags last year at AAA for Ryan Bliss with a 50% stolen base attempt rate. I'm looking at the minor league leaderboard from last year that we have available on the Patreon as well, with good plate skills. Like, I'm with you. If Ryan Bliss, I'd worry about the playing time, but if he has the job right now and he's playing and running, I think that's a really good sign for Mr. Bliss. So I think you definitely want to take a look at Ryan Bliss this week.
Yep, that would be – I would draft him over Max Muncy, to be honest, if you're looking at a second baseman. A young
I think
kid.
I would too. Yeah, I think I would too.
Yep, I'd be there in a heartbeat. All right, Texas Rangers, 3 at Great American Small Park, 3 at home versus the Rangers, all right-handed pitching for Texas. And Jake Berger hit 5th today. That was good. Liked seeing that. Higashioka got the start versus the lefty, which I've said time and time again, it's kind of ironic because he has reverse splits and Heim hits lefties better. So maybe it's more foreshadowing than anything. So what are you seeing in this Texas situation?
Jock jams, right? We got to get used to this. This is no longer the Arizona Diamondbacks leading us off in 2024. This is the ultimate jock. This is why you roster Jock Peterson for the 6-game week. I don't really care if it's the strikeout minus walk rate is red. Having three of those games in Cincinnati and then three back home is pretty sweet. So Jock Peterson hitting cleanup most likely six times next week is awesome. You called this. I'll give you your shout out. We'll get to Leody in a second. Concerning to say the least, but Higgy, we'll bring up the catchers. Kyle Higashioka started opening day over Jonah Heim, and there was some surprise about that, but not to catcher, man. That was a good call. It may be 50-50, or it may be Higgy is the primary and Heim is the backup. So if you drafted Jonah Heim in a two-catcher league, just see how much he plays and move on if he's not.
Yeah, when that signing took place, I pretty much said Heim is off my board is what that came down to. So
yeah,
so far so good here. And yeah, Higgy might be the better stream. I know you picked him up, I think, in one league recently, if I remember correctly. Could be wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering things, but
yeah.
All right.
Real quick though, Leody Taveras, because we also have a comment from Kevin in the chat. Just weird, right? Leody Taveras, I guess, was named a starting outfielder and then did not start on opening day. So a little bit of mixed signaling there. You're shaking your head.
Because some of these managers are just so beyond frustrating. frustrating. I'm not even talking about Leody, just there was a handful of things like that. We're just like, are you freaking kidding me right now? I guess this is what we're doing after we, yeah. I digress. All right. Yeah. Let's go to the National League here, to the NL East, starting out with the Atlanta Braves, who lost to the Padres today. Three at the Dodgers. That should be some fun baseball to watch. Three at home versus Miami. Five righties out of the six games for the Atlanta Braves. I'm not adding Jared Kelenic, though. So anything interest you?
We've gone down that route before. No, I don't think. I mean, Drake Baldwin did start today against a righty, and in a righty heavy week for the Braves, could get probably three starts. We'll see what that looks like in terms of playing time share with Chadwick Tromp. Grant Holmes. So there was a little bit of alarm. Why is Grant Holmes and, you know, pitching in the bullpen? But I'm guessing it was just a side session, his normal bullpen day.
That's what I put in the chat in the Discord. It's my assumption. And then I saw someone mention it, a beat writer mention it.
Okay.
It was basically a side session because he hasn't pitched on Monday.
So we're still set for a two-step next week for Grant Holmes. However, it is it's half of a tough one. It's at LA to start. And then at home against Miami on the back half. So you're throwing that, but don't be alarmed if you see Grant Holmes in the bullpen today. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Because some alarms were sent up, that is for sure. Miami Marlins, three at home versus the Mets, three at the Atlanta Braves here. They face five righties in those six games. There's Kyle Stowers in your deeper formats, but the two that kind of intrigue me, Ryan, if you're getting really goofy, Matt Mervis in your deep formats. He had a really nice spring with power. It's got to be really deep. The guy I like a lot in situations like this, again, these are all 15 teams pretty much, is Graham Pauly. He's going to play third base against righties more often than not. Graham Pauly was the guy with the Padres that showcased a ton of power. And then like Machado showed up and other things took place. Like if Machado wasn't going to start last year, Pauly was going to be the starting third baseman. That was like a big talking point. And then Machado got there. Then Pauly sent the year in the minors and is gone. Again, these are 15 team. Like you're desperate for something. I don't know what at this point in the year is the problem, but those are two guys I would keep in mind.
Yeah, pretty much an all-time bad lineup on opening day for Miami today. It's really bad. They've had a couple injuries, but like, man, I don't know if you can add any. That's the thing with the Marlins is they're so bad, they're all available. But like, especially this week, it's a tough one. I mean, if Senga continues to pitch well, you get the Holmes. They're not brothers, I don't think. But you got Clay and Grant Holmes. You've got Schwellenbach. Like, that's a very tough schedule. It's a 20% K-minus walk for that group against Miami. So I would not expect many saves. We may not get a read on the Miami save situation for quite some time, to put it bluntly.
That's very true. Looking at those matchups, that's not good.
Tinoco did pitch the ninth today and got the win, so that's nice. I don't think the good doctor, Calvin Fauché, pitched today, so I don't know.
Must have been distancing himself from the team. All right, let's go to the New York Mets on this one.
That was bad, man.
It's Thursday night. Three at the Miami Marlins, three at home versus the Toronto Blue Jays. So we got some interleague action coming your way. six. We got a lot of righties coming up in the next year. Six right-handed pitchers in six game for the Mets. Do you fire up some Jesse Winker in this one?
Yeah, you fire up some Jesse Winker for sure in a six-game week, and it's an easy-ass schedule. It's a very easy schedule. And then you also, I have Brett Beatty, who did not start today in lieu of your boy, Luis Angel Acuna, as you point to the sky there. That may just be a platoon, I'm hoping.
Pretty sure it is, yeah.
If you have Brett Beatty, don't worry yet. I think this could be actually a really good Brett Beatty week with six righties. So Brett Beatty, Jesse Winker, for me, I think are pretty good ads. And this is a potential line shift team. I think on the short side platoon, you may have Luis Angel, you may have Starling Marte, and Tyrone Taylor all coming in against lefties. So you can't really add, like, if you're starting Starling Marte, which I hope you're not, but that may be a tough week for Starling Marte against six righties.
Yep, that could be a very bad week for one Starling Marte versus six righties. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a platoon between Beatty and Acuna. But just watch the weekend; we'll find out real quick how that one appears to play out. So keep that in mind. Phillies, you got three at home versus Colorado, three at home versus the Dodgers. So a great easy set to start the week. A little more challenging to finish the week, but five right-handed pitchers nonetheless. But there's not a lot of moving and shaking, it looks like, early on for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to look at. The lineup's just so set. You do have, and the two-step is Christopher Sanchez on the pitching side, and he's obviously widely rostered. So not much we can do with the Phils this week.
All right, the Washington Nationals, three at Toronto, three at home versus Arizona, five righties once again in this one. Not a lot to go with here either, in my opinion.
Agreed. For as much as we love the Washington lineup, pretty much widely taken, basically from top to bottom, with the exception of maybe Paul DeDong. Everyone else is, even like Jacob Young is rostered. He's hitting ninth, Dylan Cruz eighth. So not much you can do in terms of an ad. Your two-step is Trevor Williams. Tread very lightly there, people.
Yeah, tread very lightly with Trevor Williams, given he was pitching well last year before he got hurt. He was actually pitching decent this spring, but I it feels like smoke and mirrors, so I'm not going to like run and tell you to do it, but just surprised. All right, NL Central here, Chicago Cubs, three at the Athletics, three at home versus San Diego. You got four right-handed pitchers in the mix there. Cubby's offense looks great on Thursday night. Hopefully that sticks around all season. Michael Bush looks like he'll be in a platoon, so if you are a Michael Bush fan, this could be a week to use Michael Bush.
Yeah, maybe. It's a four-start. It's a four-start week for Michael Bush. That was the thing I was going to key on, because there's really nothing else Cubs-wise. It's a damn good lineup, and you were saying before the show you have a ton of Cubs this season, so nice of them to touch up Mr. Zach Gallen in the opener. But no, I don't have much on the Cubs.
Yep. Cincinnati Reds coming at you with three at home versus Texas, four at the Milwaukee Brewers. Obviously, we're waiting to find out who the Brew Crew put together in that final start. So you got at least four righties, maybe five, coming up this week for Cincinnati, which kind of makes things a little tricky given the first half of the week's three righties. So you got that locked in if you want to go there. But any lefty bats you're looking for here?
I'm always going to name Jake Fraley as a platoon lefty bat. If that TBD starter is a righty, I think Jake Fraley in righty heavy weeks is a decent ad. Your guy, Gavin Lux, just worth,
cleanup,
I mean,
he's a hitter, Gavin, yes, Lux, by the way.
He's widely rostered, but I just wanted to note cleanup against a righty today. Will he play against lefties? I don't know. But cleanup against righties is pretty sweet.
Yeah, there's a great chance that he platoons, but at the same time, with Austin Hayes out now, maybe not.
Yeah, so, good point. Because, dude, they don't have a lot of options. Blake Dunn and Jacob Herdebees and Santiago Espinal. Like, just why not try? Like, yeah. If you have Hayes there, I get it. But Gavin Lux, I think lefty on lefty, you maybe just want to see what you have there as opposed to those three studs I just named.
Yes, I'm 100% on board there. Milwaukee Brewers coming at you, three at home versus the Royals, four at home versus the Reds. It's a three lefty, four righty week, which makes things a little tricky, but it's three righties on the weekend, three lefties to start the week. if you want to play the rotations on the NFBC.
The thing I'm looking at is your boy. You know, I got to bring up Garrett Mitchell. You know, I got to bring him up. Got pinch hit for today. Of course I have to. Garrett Mitchell got pinch hit for today with the bases loaded because he faced a lefty. I don't get that. I think they played against a lefty today.
Yeah, they started against Rodon, so that's why I'm not.
Yeah, that's right. It was Rodon. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly plausible Garrett Mitchell got hurt, but I didn't see anything like that. So just keep an eye on Garrett Mitchell in a 7-game week. If it's a 3-4 split, if Garrett Mitchell truly isn't going to play against lefties, that's a concern. But I don't know. Other than that, dude, they started. Have you heard of Vinny Capra?
I was going to say, start the week, it's three lefties. Get some Vinny in your life.
Hey, Jesus.
Vinny. My cousin definitely Vinny shirts are writing themselves already.
We were watching the game today, and as Capra was up, I was like, who the bleep is this guy? And then he homered. It's like, what the hell?
Yep.
I can't recommend Vinny Capra, no. I don't think.
That's the deepest and darkest of leagues right there. If you need him.
That's NL, yeah. NL tout, NL labor.
Yeah. And Miguel Amaya with a 2-run double to blow this thing wide open. So, yes, go Cub, go.
Another one.
Yep. Yep.
Or unless they ruled the first one an error, I don't remember
they should have. Pittsburgh Pirates, 3 at Tampa Bay, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 6 righties on tap for the Buccos. Not a whole lot of running to do though. Andy Rodriguez, maybe. I don't like him as much as other people do.
Yeah, I'm not super high on Andy Rodriguez. Nick Gonzalez hit a homer today. That's a good sign in 12s, maybe, if you need a middle infielder there. Tommy Pham leadoff, I think, is at least
with
notable.
Steal.
He did get a steal?
Yep.
That's a good sign. I don't know what Tommy Pham's... should probably have this tab up for our fab previews.
I got you.
It's week one, people. We're shaking
Tommy
off the
Pham,
rest.
Tommy Pham, 5% in OCs.
In OCs? Okay, yeah. So in 12 OCs are 12 team leagues. I think Tommy Pham, if he stays at leadoff and he's going to run, I think in a week against 5 okay righties, that's a decent spot to add Tommy Pham this week.
Yeah, not going to disagree actually with that one, because leadoff Pham is probably better than a lot of guys in the Marlins at least. St. Louis Cardinals to wrap out the Central here. They have 3 at home versus the Angels, 3 at the Boston Red Sox, 3 lefties, 3 righties. I'm moving on.
I'm pretty much moving on as well. Nice to see your boy Mason Wynn all the way down at the bottom of that lineup card today. Jordan Walker hit like a 115 mile an hour. I'm making this number up, but hit a very hard hit ball today. I know it's just one hard hit ball, but folks talk about max exit velocity, max EV that you'll hear about. That's nice to at least see Jordan Walker hit the ball. And this is a very good schedule, right? This is an 8% strikeout minus walk rate against the Cardinals. And you can see why when you look at the starting pitchers going against the Cardinals, right? Tyler Anderson, Hendricks, Kikuchi's the only good one. Walker Buehler, D. Fitz, and Newcomb. So I don't know. I think it's a decent week to stream any Cardinal bats, but just a lot of them aren't that good.
Yeah, no, I think most of the ones that we'd be interested in streaming aren't even available is the problem.
Yeah.
At least maybe, could be wrong.
What's Jordan Walker in 12s?
Yeah, it's a good question. I should probably say it before I mouth off too much. Jordan Walker, he's 90%.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
Like Newt's 100. So yeah, I think most of the guys I'd be interested in are pretty much donezo.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head to the NL West here. Arizona Diamondbacks, who have put up a 5 spot on Thursday. They have 3 at the Yankees, 3 at the Nationals, a little East Coast swing, 4 righties on tap for Arizona. Could lead to a little Pavin Smith action, but like he did sit. Grichuk got the start versus the lefty, but then Pavin came in and pinch hit later. So just keep that in mind.
That's what it's going to be. And I think Pavin Smith is kind of this year's Jock Peterson out in Arizona. It's going to play against righties. I think he's going to be pretty good. It's just a tough call in a 4-game week against righties. Like, I don't know. You typically want 5 plus right-handed pitching matchups in a week to start these platoon guys. So Pavin Smith is on my radar, but pretty low in bids this week just because probably only going to play four games. And for as much as he comes in and pinch hits like he did on opening day, the same thing can happen if a lefty enters the game against Pavin Smith and he does not finish a game that he starts. So it definitely works both ways there.
100%. Colorado Rockies, they have three at Philadelphia, three at home versus the A's. Two lefties, four righties for this wonderful Rockies offense. Like that Nick Martini is starting over Zach Veen type offense.
Oof.
This is just brutal all around. I'll just let you have the floor on that one.
I mean, it is. We don't really know what their lineups are going to start looking like, but like Jordan Beck was a popular late draft season pick. So if you're looking for outfielders, Jordan Beck, I think, is going to get some run in outfield. What do you think about him? So they just signed Mickey Moniak.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's actually,
just throw up in your mouth or?
Yes and no.
What was that noise?
He's weirdly going to be appealing in Colorado.
Like, I know for a fact
I will add him for like $2 certain weeks. I am not clueless in this. It's just sad that he got a 1 year, $1.5 million contract to come play in Colorado.
Yeah, I do not understand the Rockies at all, but I'm just throwing some names out there that could be factors. This week is tough because you can't really start any Rockies the first half. It's on the road against Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler. Yeah. Gets easier on the back half at home. Osvaldo Beto, JP Sears, and Estes. So I don't know. It's gonna be a disaster for the Rockies this season, as we all know.
Indeed. Los Angeles Dodgers, three at home versus Atlanta, three at the Phillies, three lefties, three righties. I'm good.
I mean, I don't really know what you do. Michael Conforto did not start today against a lefty. That's mildly concerning, but
that was surprising.
Yeah, a little bit out of left field. No pun intended, since that's his actual position. But did start against two lefties in Japan against the Cubs. So we'll see. But yeah, 3-3 split. At least if you have Conforto, try and see if he plays against another lefty before you can make that call. Because a platoon Michael Conforto is suddenly not that interesting.
Not at all. The San Diego Padres, three at home versus Cleveland, three at the Cubs, three lefties, three righties. Again, I am pretty much out.
Like, just out on the Padres, any?
On this week with the Padres. Like, Gavin Sheets will be a popular name indeed today, but, like.
Yeah, no, Gavin Sheets is Platoonville, and it's a 3-3 split. So, no Padres either.
Yeah, that's what I meant by out. It's just the matchup's not going to do it for me. And then the last team we have here, the San Francisco. We get to talk Giants last every week.
That's wow, awesome. We get the Giants last every week. We can switch it up. No, we can do
no need. San Francisco Giants, three at Houston, three at home versus Seattle Mariners. Five righties on tap, including three of them over the weekend. So in your deeper formats, you got your Lamont Wade Juniors to look into and your Yastrzemskis to look into if you're feeling the need for that. Otherwise, I hope the main culprits are already rostered on this team.
Yep, agreed. I have little to nothing to add to that. I just hope Elliot Ramos breaks the hell out for your sake. It would be beautiful.
It's glorious. All right, that wraps up our 30-team schedule preview for the coming week. As usual, then we get to usually we go CBS risers and two starts go last, but there's not a whole lot of risers here.
That's fine. I got it. Do I have it here?
It's on the other. You have to share it.
That's just page. Yeah. That's right. We do that real quick, and then we'll switch over to
two starts after this.
Two steps. All right. So, and a lot of times, again, for kind of newer listeners to the show, this is almost just like a recap. Like, did we miss anybody going through our 30 team dives? Or it's also just kind of like a summary of some of the bigger names. So your top riser this week is Victor Scott, obviously getting the St. Louis job. And Victor Scott, as we mentioned on our Vegas show, was a pretty inside the top 20, top 15 rounds type of guy. So I think that ship has sailed, and the ship might sail back to the minors again at some point this year. So I know you're not totally convinced on Victor Scott.
Yep, been pretty much out on that one. Didn't really spend much on him this past week, so we'll see. Can prove me wrong, but we shall see on that one. There's your Ben Rice or Brett Beatty's as well. So your boys.
Ben Rice, mildly interesting. I think Brett Beatty is interesting again in an all righty week. You've got Max Muncy way down there, but you said, who did you say over Max Muncy? Ryan Bliss, you would add at middle infield, second base over Max Muncy. So not a whole else lot on the, that was a sentence, on the hitters.
Pitching side, as you'd meant, you'd expect, you got your Luke Jackson all of a sudden when everyone said he'd be the closer, and already seen how that's going. Other than that, it's a lot of starters that were late put into the rotations or finished strong in spring is kind of how it looks.
What's your take on Birdsong? I think I saw a question somewhere about, do I hold on to Hayden Birdsong? What's your feel there? Popular guy.
Very popular. Birdsong, not me.
Well, you too, but
the way I look at it, it's very difficult. I'll say that much. It's very difficult because you need these roster spots right now. Birdsong's obviously the next man up when that opportunity arrives. He's going to get plenty of work out of the pen, so he might be valuable in certain weeks, honestly, compared to some other streaming starting pitching options. But again, it's tough to roster. In a 12, you probably are dropping him, 12 or less. In a 15, I would try to hold, but I'd understand if you need the roster space. It's just going to sting because he will get his chance, and I think he's actually the best out of that group of like him, Roop, and Harrison. Birdsong's the best. It's just Roop beat him out, and that's how it works. But so he's probably a drop in most formats. I try to keep him in deeper.
Okay. Interesting to see Griffin Canning, second highest riser. I've been burned by Griffin Canning many times. The thing with Griffin Canning is you will get a look and see what he looks like. He goes at Houston, I believe, on Saturday. So yep, we will get to see what Griffin Canning looks like. And then just want to call out AJ Smith-Shawver, kind of your one of your guys late in draft season. You're in on AJSS. Real quick, his next three starts, again, looking at our starting pitcher planner in the weekly planner, it is a tougher one at San Diego on Sunday. But then the next two starts for AJ Smith-Shawver would be at home against Miami, which is just the nuts this year, and then on the road against Tampa, which we'll see how that park plays. So,
yeah, that's a good call. He does have a lot of, let's say, upside in that sense. Mm-hmm. Sean Burke had a nice game against the Angels. Didn't strike out 3 Ks, but 5 shutout innings. Jack Leiter's got the hype. Soriano is a guy that I think the ceiling is tremendous with him, but the floor can be detrimental. Like a lot of great strikeout stuff, but he walks the farm type deal. But he's still young, so if like he could flick the switch, that'd be pretty sweet as well.
Yeah. That was Soriano, right?
Yeah, Jose Soriano, yeah.
He gets a dream schedule. It's at the White Sox, but that's this weekend, so that'll pump up the value. But then it's Cleveland at Tampa, so that's decent for his next three starts. I like Tyler McGill. Got a lot of Oregon Duck green on the CBS grid. We had a Oregon State Beaver come up to me at Las Vegas and said he did not like the Oregon Duck shout out, but
the weekly Oregon Duck shout out.
It's all in good fun. Tyler McGill, I think, has got some pretty decent skills, and as long as he's in the rotation, you like to see a 13% swinging strike and an 18% K-minus walk, but probably pretty widely rostered at this point.
Yeah, the Cylor is 86% rostered in OCs.
Okay.
After that, you got Roop, who I think is going to be very good. He's got at Houston and then Homer Cincinnati for his first two starts. I believe they're both next week, actually, if I remember correctly. I had it right there. Both next week. So that's, I believe the 7th is, no, it's probably a Monday. So you got one start back-to-back weeks with him. Klevdog, potential closer in the White Sox. Are you buying that?
I'm not buying that nickname you just threw on him, but Klevdog, it does seem like he's, I don't know if he's good. B, I don't know how many games the White. Well, I have an idea of how many games the White Sox are going to win, but it does seem like he has the job. A third closer spec, I wouldn't go crazy for Mike Clevenger. We didn't really talk about Detroit's closing situation. So Bo Brewski. I know it's Bo Brisky, but I, you know, in our show of nicknames, I'm calling him Bo Brewski. He's a factor potentially in Detroit's pen.
Pitch the eighth tonight.
Pitch the eighth.
Five.
It's close enough.
Five. Yeah, it's five. It was.
It's better than my guy Barlow in the sixth.
It's true. It was 5-4 Dodgers, so they maybe tried to hold the game close. That's we'll right. see, but yeah. I saw him come in. I was like, huh, that's an interesting take.
But that's because who got sent down? Jason Foley got sent down for Detroit, which
the man that saved 28 games last year for the Tigers is now in AAA.
Yeah. So the Detroit bullpen, I think that's not the White Sox. Like Detroit could actually win some games this year. I just don't know if they end up falling on a guy. Michael Cecchini, who is a Tigers fan and follower, says Brewski is the guy he wants in that pen. But Michael obviously is not the manager of Detroit. But I agree. I think he's the one to speculate on. Bo Brisky is the one to speculate on.
I'm going to throw out a Cade Povich down here as a guy that's been moving up a lot. I have a lot of shares of him. So once he made the rotation, I was very excited to see that. I even grabbed a few more shares in my last couple drafts this season.
I like it.
And your boy Casey Mize is up there as well, who is, I believe last I checked, he's 100% rostered in OCs. So he's long gone. Yeah, he's 100%.
Beautiful.
So he's donezo.
Get him in your lineups, though. It's a great two-step.
All right. Anybody else before we talk two-steps?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. As usual, we'll go team by team. We'll get the yes or no situation. And it's only on guys that are obvious. Like Arizona, Corbin Burns at Yankees at Washington. Yes. A's, Joey Estes versus the Cubs at Colorado.
No. Okay. Would not. In a 15, no.
Grant Holmes, your two starting. Cade Povich versus Boston at Kansas City.
I would think about it in a 15. I wouldn't in a 12.
It's a tricky one. Only reason why I might in a 12 is because most of your aces you drafted do not have two steps next week. So.
Yeah. And the Royals were pretty awful against lefties last season. So there is that.
Boston, Sean Newcomb at Baltimore versus St. Louis.
I am given Sean Newcomb had a -2% strikeout minus walk. That's more walks than strikeouts. Yep. I think Sean Newcomb will be nuking your ratios if you decide to go there.
I don't ever want to hear you say something about my stuff ever again. Ben Brown at the A's versus San Diego.
Yeah, you roll with that. We both like Ben Brown a ton. Very good skills last season. We just didn't think he'd be in the rotation for the Cubs. And once that was confirmed, it's Ben Brown time.
Big shocker on that one. Brady Singer versus Texas at Milwaukee.
Not in a 12, even in a 15, that's tricky, but I'd probably roll with Brady Singer, in a 15 teamer.
15 for sure. 15 for sure. 12 is trickier. Carson Spires versus Texas at Milwaukee. That's a no for me.
That's a negative.
See, right now they have Tanner Bibee two stepping it. We still might see Tanner Bibee this weekend. So Cleveland is in flux. Let's put it that way. Rockies, Anthony Sensatella at Philadelphia versus Atlanta, versus another, the A's.
Another guy with
A's is gonna give me every time.
I know. But no, Sensatella, another guy with more walks than K's last season. 6% swinging strike rate. 6%. That's half of league average. That's terrible. No, never Sensatella.
Yep. All right, Chicago White Sox, Martin Perez versus Minnesota at Detroit. That's a 15 for sure.
For sure. I don't know about for sure. I just don't know if you're getting any run support there. I don't even know if I do it in a 15.
I do it in a 15. 12's no.
I mean, Detroit's lineup does look pretty bad against lefties, but that's tricky. I don't think I do it in a 15. We disagree on that one.
Okay. Detroit, Casey Mize were both starting. Yeah. Ronel Blanco for Houston were both starting. Kansas City, Chris Bubich at Milwaukee versus Baltimore.
Yes.
Yep. With you as well.
I like Chris Bubich quite a bit.
Yep. Angels, Tyler Anderson at St. Louis versus Cleveland.
That's tricky. I don't know. I don't think I'd do it.
I do not. Not for me. Glass, now you're two-step in. Cal Quantrill versus the Mets at Atlanta.
Yeah. If you listen to this show and you start Cal Quantrill, I cannot help you anymore.
All right, Brewers, this team's rotation is a disaster. Tyler Alexander versus Kansas City versus Cincinnati.
No, I don't even know if he'd pitch deep enough to. It's a decent set of matchups. Like, Cincinnati wasn't good against lefties last season, and they get him not in small part, but I don't know if Tyler Alexander throws five innings or if he's that good.
Yeah, then you have Chad Patrick versus KC at versus Cincinnati. I'm just going to pass on both of them.
Don't even know. Call him Patrick Chad for.
Well, I just like Chad. I was like the you know, it's like the Karen of guys. Minnesota, Chris Paddock at the White Sox versus Houston.
Oof. I think I'd do a double no. That's Chris Paddock can get you in some trouble, man, because that Houston one could blow up.
And you know how it goes. More often than not, you're like, okay, just be good versus Houston and dominate the White Sox. Then he gets shelled by the White Sox to start the week, and then you're sitting there, it's like, this last start's going to crush me. It happens all the time.
Yep.
I could be wrong, but that's how it usually rolls. RotoWire has not had the latest update here. Right here, they have, unless something changed again, but as of like 2 hours ago, right now they have David Peterson at Miami versus Toronto. If that's the case, would you start David Peterson?
In 15s, I'd probably do it. The Miami is just so juicy. Yeah.
15s, I would for sure. The reason this is going to happen. It is going to be Peterson two-step. I'm wrong. Kodai Senga got moved to the Tuesday, so he gets Miami this Tuesday and the following Monday. Gets Miami back-to-back starts.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's where I missed. They are right. Peterson at Miami versus Toronto. I definitely wouldn't have 15. Toronto, unless they look better this weekend, I might start him versus Toronto too. Like, today was just downright bad. Yankees, Will Warren versus Arizona at Pittsburgh. Yes.
I'm not totally sold on Will Warren yet.
Arizona's scary.
If you drafted Will Warren, you are starting that, of course.
Yes. There's a good way to put it. Philadelphia, you're starting Christopher Sanchez. Yeah. Oh God, I got to do this in the first show of the year. Pittsburgh, Carmen Miodzinski at Tampa Bay versus the Yankees.
Say that again. I couldn't
not starting Carmen.
No, we're not cool with Carmen Mladzinski.
Where in the world is Carmen Mladzinski? Yeah.
Probably Poland.
Gonna be about AAA in a few weeks. San Diego, Kyle Hart versus Cleveland at the Cubs.
I don't know much about Kyle Hart, so no. I mean, he's like 32 and like a journeyman. I don't know. Maybe you have some insight there, but I don't know.
Yeah, he's a journeyman. Went to the KBO, I believe. Because I wrote some stuff about him when he signed the small deal with San Diego. Really improved the strikeout stuff in Korea. And how does that translate to the bigs? It's always the question. Usually there's a fallback there. Like, I'm a believer in what this Cubs offense is going to be, especially versus lefty. That could be nice. Cleveland's, like, both these teams, I'd say no for now. Just let's see what this Hart kid's all about. It is a decent set of, like, the Cleveland matchup's kind of tempting, but I'll probably sit. But Hart is a guy that I have on a watch list. Let's put it that way. Okay. If he did the proper improvements, we could get a year. It's like, we saw how Fetty came back looking much better. Like, Kyle Hart could be that guy type of pitcher.
Okay. Makes sense.
So I just got to see it though before I invest too much in it. And that means I might not get any shares, period. Seattle, Emerson Hancock versus Detroit at the Giants. I never am Emerson Hancock.
I'm kind of never Emerson Hancock. Has some prospect pedigree, so don't like totally throw him off your board. But similar to what you were just saying with Kyle Hart, I need to see something first.
Yep. Giants, Jordan Hicks at Houston versus Seattle. I would right now. As long as Hicks is healthy, you roll.
I wouldn't. I don't think Jordan Hicks is good.
That Seattle start's very attractive.
The Seattle start is attractive. I will grant you that for sure. But I don't know.
The one thing I'll say about Hicks is he might not go more than 4 to 5 innings. So keep that in mind also.
Yeah.
All right, St. Louis, Miles Mikolas. Nope. Are you interested?
No, I'm not. I shook my head in disapproval of Miles Mikolas, not you.
Tampa Bay, Drew Rasmussen versus Pittsburgh at Texas. That is very nice.
Oh, that's very nice. That's actually freaking awesome. Let's see how Drew Rasmussen looks, how deep he pitches into games. But yeah, you have to roll with that.
Yep, that is a great two stuff. One of the better ones on the week. Texas, Kumar Rocker at Cincy versus Tampa Bay. Yep.
Yep, I'm doing that.
Toronto, Bowden Francis versus the Washington Nationals at the Mets.
Oh, dude.
If you drafted them, you're starting.
I mean, yes. Yeah, exactly. If you drafted them, I don't think.
You and I just weren't drafting them.
But yeah. Fortunately, we don't have to make that decision. Nope. But it's not a decision if you took them.
Nope. And then Washington, Trevor Williams at Toronto versus Arizona.
Oh, no. I mean, Arizona's like elite, dude. No.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Toronto's pretty good, too. So.
I'll pass on that as well. All right, final thoughts on the week two fab before we get to some listener questions. That was a quick run through, a little rusty on my part, but we got there.
And my part too. It's a lot going on behind the scenes because we cover so much that it's got to be a well-oiled machine. We'll get the WD-40 out this week.
Used to be on one sheet. Now we had three sheets going on.
It's a little different this year. So give us another week or two. We'll be rocking and rolling. I will try and have, instead of asking you, hey, what? I wonder what his ownership is in 12s. I'll actually have that tab.
You can have the 15 ownership up. I'll have the 12s.
Okay, we'll do that. That works.
All right, let's do some listener questions here. Joe G, he says, drop Vic Scott for Soderstrom.
Two opposite players. So the cop out is, do you want speed or power? But yeah. That being equal, I would take Soderstrom over Victor Scott.
Yep, I would have Soderstrom as well. I'm with you. All right, Jeremy, Ty France or Matt Mervis? I'd have Ty France.
Dude, I need to get a friend. I need to get like a mini French flag. Get one of those out here. Yes, Ty France over Matt Mervis.
All right, Frank says, would you trade Teoscar for Rosarena? No.
I would keep Teoscar, yeah.
Yes. He also says, would you trade Bryce Miller for DeGrom?
Yes.
I would
take DeGrom over Bryce Miller.
Yes, and then he says fab for Alan Rodin, $3.
Yeah, like less than a percent. But I'm not sold on Alan Rodin. I just think he's a guy who may not even play regularly. So I wouldn't buy into this prospect hype, and most of the time that fails.
Sean says, what guys are you dropping in fab this week? That's a loaded question. I'd have to go through and see what's droppable on my teams, honestly.
Yeah.
Like the closest one you said is Mikel Garcia from what we talked about earlier. It's one to watch, but
I'm not dropping Mikel Garcia yet.
I'm not overreacting from one day of baseball.
Agreed.
So, let's see. I think that's everything.
But it's a really good question from Woody, because that's half the, but it's so hard as an analyst, because so much depends on
your teams and everything
your teams. And yeah, but yeah, if you guys have specific questions on if you want to drop this guy or that guy, we'd certainly give our thoughts for that one. Cause it's an important question for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be rude. It's been one day. Like, there's really not a whole lot I'm garnering to push me to drop somebody in one day, for the guys I drafted like 48 hours ago or something,
or in my case, right. 10 hours ago.
Yeah. All right, a couple questions from the Twitter here. Darth Disney says, maybe address MLB Network being down all day. That was handled horribly and no communication from their side. Anything that involves MLB's product, aka Rob Manfred's the president, then yes,
you're MLB Network's pretty, or MLB TV is pretty damn solid, though.
Yeah, I finally bought it. I got MLB Network on right now. I've pretty missed good. It's been a couple of years since I've had this on my TV. Joe G said, is Birdsong a hold? We discussed that earlier. Totally depends. Steve Brun says, is there more than six or seven bullpens we know who will come through the gate for the ninth? God.
I mean, but that's why we talked all draft season about like that top eight. Opening day showed us. And even those top eight weren't safe because, I mean, it could have been real bad for Hader and Devin Williams. But this is why we were both preaching to at least get one of those early closers, because I just don't want to screw with this stuff.
I would say it feels like Orioles, Guardians, Astros, I want to say Angels, Yankees, Mariners,
Yes.
Maybe the Rays. A's.
No. Rays, A's. I'll give you Rays. A's, yeah. I'll give you.
Yeah. And then you go farther to the National against the Braves. Technically, the Cubs. Hodge pitched the eighth. Professor hit pitched the ninth tonight. So we'll say that for now. Not the Dodgers. The Brewers, the Mets, the Padres, the Giants, the Cardinals.
That's those 15. Ones,
that's half the league. Yeah, there's that's a couple I almost threw in there, but I've been gentle. So I'd say at least half the league.
Yeah.
Jaren B says, anyone thinks Slayton will be the closer in Boston? He's been one of the three names I've mentioned many times in articles that to keep an eye on between him and Chapman and Hendricks before Hendricks went back on the IL. So it's Chapman. It's like early preseason, everyone was saying Slayton was the best option. So
did Chapman come in a tie game today?
I believe he was trying to hold the lead. Yeah.
It was definitely the eighth inning.
But it was tight.
Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts, my friend. That is it. Those questions. We are all in, out, done.
Good to be back. Hour 25. That's about the running rate for these Thursday shows, just because we pack so much in. But good to start the routine again with you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. I got my notes. I always write down the names we talk about that are of interest for me to either add to the article on for the weekend or to put for my own fab. So it's how I kickstart my weekend for fab is this show. So I hope it helped everybody else. Hope you guys, if you're on the YouTube, got to enjoy the sheets that Ryan was sharing. Again, if you want full access to all of them, they're on the Patreon for you to use anytime you want. Like if you're watching the show, there were people in there the whole time.
You can see like the little people up there.
You can always check that out. It's patreon.com/BubbaBloom. But until next time, we'll be back with you guys Tuesday with the first Bloom Horde episode of the season. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Entrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom episode 229. Catch y'all next time.